glasses. Mine? Okay. Hello, everyone. So anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Ava, and I'm one of the youth members here at the church. Now, get right into it. I don't know about you, but when I'm in bed and I'm trying to sleep, that's when I worry about the future. And I replay conversations from 12 years ago and think about how I could have handled it a bit differently. I remember the geography homework that I've got due, first period tomorrow. And it might be a bit different for you. It might be about how problems are piling up and up and the stress just builds and builds. But I am confident when I tell you this, that you aren't the only one who feels worried. And I can guarantee that everyone feels anxieties about things and probably will in the future, which is why we're focusing on it today. So I'm going to jump straight in with a story from the Bible, and that's going to get us thinking about what this kind of really means. If you'd like to follow along, there are some Bibles at the back of the church. So we're going through Luke 10, 38 to 42. In the Bibles at the back of the church, that's page 1042. I'll say again where it is. It's Luke 10, 38 to 42, or page 1042. Luke 10, 38 to 42, or page 1042. Okay. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asks, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I know exactly what you're all thinking right now. What on earth was Martha thinking? If I was her, I would be sitting with Jesus. But I want you all to place yourself in Martha's shoes. Jesus, the Jesus, is coming to your house. What's the first thing you want to do? Clean the house, right? You want it to be presentable for Jesus. So you're dusting, you're mopping the floors, you're hoovering, and you know, before you even realize it, you've actually missed what really matters. But the important thing, Jesus never shames Martha for being worried, but instead shows her compassion and encourages her to do what is better, spending time with God. Often, by trying to make everything perfect, we forget what is most important. But that doesn't make us bad people, it just makes us human. And we shouldn't feel guilty or feeling anxious, because it's God's intention for us to feel peace. So this raises the question, does constantly striving for perfection actually help us find success? Many of us are taught that by pushing ourselves and always working hard then we'll reach our goals. However, while I agree that hard work is vital, this story reminds us that constant strain can lead to stress and anxiety rather than the peace that God wants us to feel. Just like Martha, we feel obligated to make everything perfect and forget to take care of ourselves. By speaking to God and resting in his presence, you can find the balance between responsibility and rest, which eases the weight of anxiety. And one final question I would encourage you to think about is it okay to feel anxious and overwhelmed when things don't go according to plan? Later, Toby will be looking more in depth at how everything is a part of God's plan and why anxiety is pointless. But for now, I'm going to hand it over to Bella and the band, who will be singing 10,000 Reasons. Thank you.
Good to hear my mic's on. My name is Toby, and if you don't know me, you do now. But one thing you probably don't know about me is I'm quite a big worrier at times. And to some extent, I think we all are. In 2025, a study said 74% of adults felt so stressed at some point over the past year that they felt overwhelmed, or unable to cope. That's these three rows worth, so quite a significant number of us. We've all felt it at some point, whether we're willing to admit it or not, whether we're too stressed with our family, our relationships, our jobs, or whatever else life throws at us. For those of you who don't know, I'm type 1 diabetic and have been for nearly 9 years. And if you were to ask any type 1 diabetic, including myself, we'd tell you that it can be stressful at times. After a period when it was causing me so much anxiety, I picked up a book by a diabetic psychologist who'd helped many people learn to handle this aspect of it. One of his first pieces of advice was this: be honest with yourself about how difficult it is. While I wouldn't recommend reading this whole book, I mean, most of you aren't diabetic, this advice can be pretty seamlessly translated to life as a whole. Be honest with yourselves. Life can be stressful. Life can be difficult. Life can be messy. Because life is full of things to worry about. But can I give you some really, really good news? We have a God. King David knew this better than a lot of people. His life was riddled with more stress than most, living in constant fear of his enemies. Even though he was such a mighty king, favoured by God, at many points, he hit a rock bottom. The funny thing about that expression is that when you're at a rock bottom, you've got a rock beneath you. And in many ways, God is our rock. That expression you must have heard before. It's in the Bible 128 times. 128. Surely, if God being our foundation is mentioned in the Bible 128 times, it's something to think about. My English teacher, whenever writing essays, always tells us to say a lot about a little. And you can apply that to this phrase so much. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 2, we read how the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is our rock when life's struggles become so great that we sink through the floor and all we have to lift us up is that layer of rock that's beneath us. Whether we're at rock bottom or not, God calls us to rest on him, to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. He cares for every one of us in this room. Isn't that the best news ever? Back in the story Ava shared earlier, Martha was so stressed about making sure everything was in order for Jesus that she didn't see God beneath her to catch her. When her sister wasn't helping and busy spending time with Jesus, Martha was rightfully anxious and overwhelmed, and it's okay to be. But when Martha failed, was failing to be with God, to bring her anxieties and stresses to Jesus. Sometimes we can't help being stressed, but God hates to see us stressed. He would happily whisk away our stresses in a heartbeat. Whoops. But Toby, you may ask, it's all well and good telling us not to be anxious and to pass on those anxieties to God, but how exactly do we do that? To be completely honest, there's no right answer, which if you're anything like me, you'd find really frustrating. But that doesn't mean I won't leave with you some advice. First, and I've already touched on this, God eagerly wants us to come to him with our anxieties and carry them on himself. You can even apply it to a non-Christian. Acknowledging the problem is an essential step in healing. As the book I described earlier mentioned, God hates seeing us suffer. Sorry, I lost my place. And doesn't want us to worry about anything. He wants to be the foundation in our lives, the rock, when we're at rock bottom. If we're praying for a solution, however, if we're stressing about something so much and need an answer, we shouldn't expect God to solve our problems how we want them to be solved. God will solve them eventually, but he'll do it his way. That is a really difficult truth to accept. We as human beings create our own fantasies of the perfect way for God to solve our problems. But we're humans, so those fantasies are always flawed. God has a calculated, flawless plan of how to solve our problems. And even though his solution may feel imperfect to us at the time, we have to trust it's the right decision. Being at rock bottom never feels fun, but it gives us a point to start climbing out from. Finally, you may wonder what to do with all this time we save by not worrying. Most of you probably know what I'm going to say, and that's spend more time with God. Resting in God's presence, taking a pause at rock bottom to reflect is the best way to ward off anxieties and spend time with our Father. Paul spoke a few months ago about taking time on the Sabbath to properly rest and recharge, and that's just as important here. God is always with us and willing to spend time with us. What a waste would it be to take that for granted? Before we enter a time of prayer, I think Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 sums up everything both Ava and I have spoken about this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Even if you're not quite at rock bottom, even if it's only the smallest thing bothering you, present your anxieties to him in every situation, the big or the small. Let's all stand and pray, if willing or able. Make sure I haven't put you all to sleep. Lord, as messy and stressful as our lives are, you are our rock, the constant in our lives, the one thing that will never change. We can take refuge in your presence, whether we feel like we're at rock bottom or not, because you are always with us. We pray that you will give you our worries, not only to relieve us of the burden, but so you can save us from the problems that cause us such anxiety. Your love will protect us, but we need faith that it will do so. Come, Holy Spirit, and take away our anxieties. Holy Spirit, show those who are afraid to reach out to others when in need. Show them that they don't need to be afraid to talk to you, Lord. Show them that they can be honest and vulnerable with you about how they're feeling. Lord, would you show us the things that we lean on when we should be leaning on you? You should be the first one we turn to. Forgive us when we turn to other things before you. I also want to pray for those of us who are worried by our past actions. Those of us who are so weighed down in guilt, they forget the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And we are forgiven. Lord, a lot of that guilt we feel is unnecessary. A lot of the times it wasn't our fault that what happened, but Lord, we pray that you help us understand that. We pray this all in your name, Lord. Amen.